almost all of life change starts with a question. Not just any question, but important questions. Who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? What is my purpose? What is God asking of me? The reality is most of us are asking ourselves questions all the time. But we rarely spend much of the time on the important ones, because our life seems to be dominated by other things, mostly urgent things, like what should I wear, or what should I eat, or what do I have to do today? And there's a big difference between the urgent and the important. You see, urgent questions are the ones that scream at us and demand our attention right now. The important questions whisper to us in quiet moments in our lives and don't demand a response. But these are the questions that, when given the time and consideration, can completely change our lives. And among the important questions, there are the most important questions. Jesus asked four of the most important questions that, if answered well, will have the potential to change your life for the better. As we enter into 2020, what are the questions that you're asking yourself? I want us to consider four life-changing questions that Jesus asked over the next 4 weeks as we journey into our fast. This series is going to be different from all of the other series that we usually do, because we usually try and offer answers to questions. But this series is just about the questions. And you're going to have to carve out time from the busyness in your life to consider them, to contemplate them, to meditate on them, and then answer them. In John chapter number 5, Jesus asked one of these most important life-changing questions. I'll read it aloud, and I'd invite you to follow along with me in John chapter number 5, starting at verse number 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Verse 11, but he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk?" And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. In this passage of scripture, we meet a man who was described as an invalid. And he had been one for 38 years. This meant that he didn't have use of parts of his body. Perhaps this man had no use of his lower body, and that meant for him to get around that he had to literally drag himself on the ground using the strength of his hands. Of course, that would mean that if he was dragging himself, he was dragging himself through the dirt and the dust. Remember, there were no sidewalks or paved roads. And the same roads that he would travel on were the same roads that the animals traveled on and did their business on. Being an invalid, he may have even been incontinent, which meant that he probably smelled of his own urine and feces, not to mention the waste that he dragged himself through. There were no wheelchairs or modern conveniences that he could have taken advantage of. This man had no job and had to beg and rely on the pity and the generosity of others. Most people probably considered him cursed. Probably looked down on him and said that he must have done something. He is cursed, and that's probably why he's in the condition that he's in. Most people probably wanted very little to do with him. To be an invalid in the first century had to be a hellish existence. And John is careful to mention that this man had been in this condition for 38 years. If he was in this way for 38 years, chances are he was either born this way or at a very early age he became an invalid. Look at verse number 2. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Let me stop here. There was a pool where we see that many sick people and disabled people gathered because there was this legend or superstition that an angel would randomly show up at this pool and would stir the water, and the first person to get in would be healed. Now, we have no evidence that it ever happened or that it's even remotely true. And Jesus shows up at this pool and finds this invalid there and asks him an important question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Now, looking from the outside, that seems like a very insensitive question for Jesus to ask. This man must have felt offended. Do you think I like having no use of parts of my body, Jesus? Do you think I like dragging myself along in the dirt and the dust and the dung of the day, the week, the month? Do you think I like smelling like urine and feces, having to beg for everything that I get? How could you ask me, do I want to get well? Of course I want to get well, but look at verse number 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. In other words, the man says that the reason that I'm not able to get well is because of other people. I can't get well because of the other people. They're the reason that I'm in the state that I'm in. It's not my fault, Jesus, that I can't get well. It's not my fault that I can't move forward. It's not my fault that I can't. It's other people's fault. And the reason that I'm stuck where I'm stuck is it's somebody else's fault. Because nobody else will help me into the pool. You will never get well blaming your situation on other people. You'll never get well. You'll always be stuck as long as it's somebody else's fault and somebody else's problem and somebody else is the reason for why you are where you are. What Jesus was essentially saying to this man was, do you want to leave your old life? Do you want to get well? Do you want to leave the life that you're in and enter into a new life? Do you want to do that? You see, there's a difference between needing and wanting to get well. Just because you recognize you need something doesn't mean you want it bad enough to do what it takes to get it. Are you with me? It's like the young man who knows he needs to get his life together, but he's having too much fun to want to change. Or the young lady who knows she needs to move on, but has been in this place so long, she doesn't want to leave the familiar. Sometimes we don't realize that what we have been in the same place for so long, that although it's not where we need to be, we've become so comfortable we aren't willing to do what it takes to get up and move. What pool are you sitting at today? What pool have you been at for a long time? And you set up camp there and set up residence. And you're waiting for something that has never worked and you know will never work to move you forward. This man was hoping on a superstition that had never worked. You'd been this way 38 years. You know it doesn't work. It's never worked. And it will never work. But I'm comfortable being by the pool. Today, I'm asking you the same question that Jesus asked this man. Do you want to get well? Do you want to stop lying? Do you want to be free of pornography? Do you want to get out of the affair? Do you want to stop getting high? Do you want to stop sleeping around? Do you want to stop abusing your spouse? Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Just because you know you need to be well is not the same thing as wanting to be well. Look at verse number 8. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was on the Sabbath. This healing and the way that this healing took place was different from many of the times that Jesus had performed miracles for people. Most of the time when we hear of miracles of healing, you hear Jesus say, it's your faith that made you well. But this wasn't the case here. This man didn't come to Jesus in faith. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus that came to him. What healed this man was his obedience. Jesus spoke a word to him, and he had enough faith to obey. If you're going to get well, if you want to be well, that means being willing to do what it takes to get well. And that means that when you ask the question and Jesus speaks to you, you're going to have to be willing to obey. And in order to hear what Jesus is saying, you're going to have to get quiet long enough so that you can hear what God is saying to you. What is God saying to you in 2020? What pool is he calling you from in 2020? What rut is he trying to get you out of in 2020? What's he trying to deliver you from in 2020? What new height is he trying to take you to in 2020? What new doors has he opened for you in 2020? What opportunities has he aligned in your life in 2020? But the question that has to be answered is, do you want to be well? I hope and pray that over these next few weeks of fasting and praying, that you carve out time, quiet time, push the busyness and the urgency away so that you can have time to hear the important questions that God is asking you so that you know how to move. I'm closing. Verse number 14, I'm skipping down to 14 because after this, the religious folk, they're upset, and they're upset because he's walking with his mat on the Sabbath. He was lame for 38 years, and what the religious folks got there in a bundle about is because he's walking with his mat on the Sabbath. I don't even want to go here because we don't have any religious folks here. Look at verse number 14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again." Listen to this. "Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Hey, number one, he was in the right place. He was in the temple. Thank God, he ran to the temple. I don't know if he ran to the temple because in those days it was customary to go to the temple for them to declare your healing over your body, to confirm the healing. And maybe he went to the temple because he had enough sense to say, you know what, God has touched my body and I owe him some praise. And so maybe he was there with his hands raised and doing a dance and screaming and shouting, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing my body." I don't know. But Jesus cautions him, and he says to him, "Stop sinning." Jesus was saying to the man, "It is great that you got your physical healing. You've gotten unstuck from the place that you were in physically. But more importantly is that you get your spiritual healing. You've got to make sure that your soul is right." Not being well physically, what Jesus was saying to him, pales in comparison to not being well spiritually. To not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior is an eternal hell that I pray that none of us choose. Yeah, being an invalid was hellish, but not having Jesus is an eternal hell. And you may be here today, and in the quiet of this moment, Jesus is speaking to you. And he's asking you the question, do you want to be well? Not do you need to be well, but do you want to be well? And are you willing to obey what I speak into your life so that you can get up from this cesspool, this place of superstition, this place of false hopes and pretense, this place that makes you feel good about you trying something that you know will never work to move you to the place that you need to be, where you can rationalize and justify your actions and the place that you're in and continue to blame it on everybody else? Do you want to get well? Because if you do, you're going to have to hear his voice and obey. If you call on the name of Jesus, he will save you. If you're here today and you're not saved, the hell that you're going through can't compare to eternal damnation, a Christless eternity. And today, you can answer the call. It's an important question for you to consider today. Maybe you've been stuck at a pool. I don't know what that pool is for you. Jesus is saying, do you want to get well? Do you want to move from this place? I know you've kind of set up camp here and you've made yourself comfortable here, but this isn't where you belong. But you've got to want it. I can't want it for you. We can't want it for you. You've got to want it for yourself. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed.